Welcome aboard the System 76 transmission log. Our broadcast is about to begin. This is the latest on System 76 computers, manufacturing, and Pop! OS. Now, for your in-orbit crew.
Thank you for joining us aboard our pretend spaceship for this month's dose of System 76 news. I'm Emma.
And I'm Alex. So, we went to a marketing summit recently, Emma.
Mm-hmm.
What was that all about?
Well, we got to learn all about Cosmic, and we got to see Carl present all the new features and some of the coolest selling points. And Maria was there showing off all her incredible designs.
Maria is head of UX for the Cosmic team and the company.
Yes, we have a UX designer because usability matters. But that wasn't all we did. We went out for karaoke afterwards. And Alex was our top performer of the night.
Somehow I ended up getting song after song after song, and probably because I requested a lot of songs.
Yeah.
But
I think I requested maybe two of the songs, but I ended up singing a lot of them as well. So it was actually really fun, and we had a great time.
Yeah. Andrina, our designer, was in from Texas as
yes.
well. It was good to see her.
So we had to party hardy while she was in town.
Hardy, hardy.
Yep.
Love
it. I said it. Let's jump into some hardware news.
So our desktops got updated recently with the new NVIDIA GPUs. It's the 40 series Super. So Thaleo got the 4070 Super. Thaleo Mira got the 4070 Ti. And Thaleo Major got the 4080 Super. 4070 Ti Super. Forgot the Super. There's a lot of modifiers on that number. So, and those are available in custom configurations. With Thaleo Mira, you can also get the Thaleo Mira Elite, which is sort of the top tier configuration for that desktop, and that'll come with the 4070 Ti Super.
And I heard we did some benchmarking on those cards, and the 4070 Super seemed to be higher performing, more so than the other not the super cards, but definitely had some noticeable changes in performance between the non-super variant of that model.
Yeah, in terms of performance improvement from its counterpart, it's gone up quite a bit. I think it's about 20% more powerful is what I've heard in the ether.
Nice.
And we tested it in Cyberpunk, and we were getting 100 frames per second. Or more so even in ray tracing. And that one got about a 16% frames boost from what we saw. So pretty cool.
Cool. And how about on the laptop front?
On the laptops, we recently released the new Bonobo WS and Serval WS laptops. Those are our high-end laptops. They got a new Intel CPU, the 14900HX. Very powerful machines. The Bonobo has 2K and 4K resolution options, and Serval WS has 1080p, 2K, and 4K to choose from. And there's more on the way pretty soon.
Yes, the new Atter WS is in the powerful laptops category as well, and she will be coming soon. And that laptop is one powerful and sexy little beast. I can't wait for the debut.
And as a little tease, we're working on the Lemur Pro and Oryx Pro after that.
I think that was a secret, Alex.
We don't really do secrets all that well. I don't know if you noticed. We're kind of an open source company, mostly.
This is true.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for updating us on the hardware news, Alex. Let's jump into what's happening with the software side of things.
All right. Well, back on Cosmic. So with Cosmic Text, there's a new shape run cache feature. This feature is a text shaping optimization. Text shaping, for those of you who don't know, basically determines where to place like a letter or number character, depending on what came before it, so that it's more neat and legible. And so the shape run cache feature basically caches the shaping operations so that the next time an I comes after a T, it remembers how to space that out. So that that ends up increasing the frame rates within the terminal. And we put out some designs for the OSDs, on-screen displays. Those are the things you see when you adjust things like volume, brightness, turn on airplane mode. And those are pretty cool. You can find them in the February Cosmic blog. We probably just put out the March 1 by the time this comes out. So there's going to be a bunch of new goodies in that, including potentially designs for Cosmic Files, the new file system. And finishing touches on Cosmic Edit, the text editor, and Cosmic Terminal. So be on the lookout, grab your telescope and your crow's nest, and when you see it land, go land ho!
What I think he means to say is you should check out the blog at blog.system76.com for more updates on Cosmic.
Yar, I be knowing what I said.
Side note, the Pop and Cosmic community is just awesome. We just love people making these Cosmic videos, showing off features and explaining all the new customizations you can do. If you subscribe to our newsletter, our monthly newsletter, we put all of them in a compilation at the bottom. So we are sharing those community efforts that you guys are putting out there, and we just want to keep seeing more, and we love what you guys are doing. So keep it up.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see the Nix community also adding Cosmic pieces to the OS as we're finishing them, pretty much.
Yes, and I think Fedora even had mentioned packaging it as well. So we're interested to see which other distros pick up our desktop environment.
That's exciting.
Ooh, another community thing. Carl, our founder, is going to be at Linux Fest Northwest in Bellingham, April 27th, speaking about Cosmic in a presentation called Mink Cosmic DE. So definitely check it out if you're in the area. And also that same night, we'll be having a epic System 76 Jupiter Broadcasting meetup in the parking lot of the Bellingham Technical College. And I'll be there.
What do you think Cosmic DE would be like as a person if you were to meet them?
Oh, that's a tough question. Like a floating, they'd be floating.
Ooh, so like a shaman kind of thing. Just always levitating.
Yeah, something levitating.
That's awesome.
Blue and sparkly. Blue and sparkly levitating person.
Would they be wearing a penguin suit?
No.
You heard it here, folks. We should get a sketch artist to design that. So thanks for listening up to this point. That's it for the regular podcast segment. Emma, we have an interview guest with us today.
We do.
It is Brandon from Streaming Global, and he's here to talk with us about their media delivery systems running on System 76 hardware.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We're really happy to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about Streaming Global and who you guys are and what you're about?
Sure, absolutely. So the company's been around since 2018. We're a privately held software company, and our focus has been really the transport of a variety of different things across IP networks. So that could be media and entertainment content, like, you know, streaming services that you would watch. You know, we can provide a transport, and we have a product for that called SG Modern, which stands for Media Data Real-Time Networking. And then we also have, a transfer product, which we call SGX, and that's for when you have a need to move large, complex data sets from one part of the planet to another. That's where we have leveraged the streaming methodology to be able to move those kinds of data volumes. And then the last one, which is where System 76 is really helping us out a lot, is in an area of interactive or immersive experiences. Some people are calling them like spatial commerce, where you could go to a website and be able to purchase goods, but you're doing it through like a virtual storefront where maybe you're building an avatar, or you're going to you know, you're going to buy a Ferrari and you're going to configure exactly what color you want, and you can get into the driver's seat and your salesperson might be sitting in the passenger seat. And the where we use System 76 servers in that instance with GPUs that are loaded in them puts us in a position to be able to respond to the scale demand that customers would have, you know, while being able to have a global footprint across our data centers. So, you know, we're a small company headquartered in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And I've been with the company for about 3.5 years. I joined in the summer of 2020. And my responsibility and role is I'm the head of strategy, the chief revenue officer. So everything sales and marketing kind of rolls up through me too.
Cool. What is the core technology behind your media delivery system, and how does it differ from traditional solutions?
Yeah, so if we focus on exactly where System 76 is helping, it's in that SGRT product, and RT standing for real time. We have a baseline software foundation that enables what's called pixel streaming. Okay, so if you think about the game engines that are available in the market today, Unreal Engine is the market leader. There's another company called Unity. And when you think about video game development, you're now starting to see that move into other forms of content, right? Whether it's corporate training or the spatial commerce that we talked about, it could be content management solutions. And so people use Unreal Engine or Unity to be able to create this immersive content. But what you want to do to make sure it gets to the most broad audience is that you don't want to have the end user to rely on their own device to have these really high photorealistic, high fidelity content, right? So what you do is you use a server infrastructure and then you stream the pixels from the game engine to the user's device, whether that's mobile desktop or, you know, VR headset or even a game console. And so where System 76 helps us is that they build out very specific custom servers because there's a real market demand and need for companies to be able to scale these experiences. So let's say that, you know, Nike is going to do a big campaign and they're going to drop, you know, some of these digital assets as part of a campaign. And they think that they could get 500,000 people to show up, you know, to check out this experience. The challenge is if you use cloud resources like virtual machines that are assigning a GPU, you have a one-to-one relationship between that server and the GPU and the user. So in the average cost in the market today for cloud resources for that type of experience is $1 per hour per user. So if Nike says, hey, we got 500,000 people that can show up, well, you know, you would actually have a cost of $500,000 an hour to deliver that experience using, you know, the pixel streaming offering in the market today. So what we've done with System 76 is build out these high power servers with multiple GPUs in them. And then we've invented a way to be able to have multiple users on a single GPU. We call that GPU multi-tenancy. And so now instead of only one-to-one server to user, we actually can get on a dual GPU, we could get 18 users, right? So 9 tenants per GPU. Well, that dramatically changes the unit economics so that these companies that want to have these really immersive, high fidelity, photorealistic campaigns can actually achieve scale because the data doesn't lie in terms of these users getting into these experiences. And they spend a lot of time. I mean, you're cruising around looking at a variety of different products, or maybe we're working with the Atlanta Braves as an example. They created a digital twin of their baseball park here in Atlanta. And so if I'm a fan, I can like run the bases. I can go to a Q&A with the front office or maybe some players. But you have to make sure you have both the hardware infrastructure and software to be able to deliver those kinds of experiences in a cost-effective and reliable and performant way.
So how does SGRT play into all that with the pixel streaming and the...
Yeah, so instead of like having to download a big file, for example, you're basically streaming the pixels of these experiences, right? So just imagine you know, a car. And as you move around the experience, then the lighting and the shading, you know, you want it to be look as if it's you're right there and you're in it. And the only way that you're able to do that is if you pixel stream that actual content. And that's what SGRT does. Okay. It creates the transport from the System 76 server environment, right? Where we've got that housed at a global footprint of data centers, and then pushes that to the user, you know, through, I mean, just a browser like we're using today, or a mobile device, you know, or a VR headset, or whatever the end client device would be.
Cool. Are there specific industries or sectors like education, gaming, entertainment, where you see your technology having the most impact?
I think that where you're seeing, and it's we're early days, right? I mean, when these kinds of experiences first came about, you know, there was a use that's almost become a little bit of a taboo word out there now, which is metaverse, right? Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of different definitions of what the metaverse was, is, and could be. I think that when it first came out a few years ago, it was all about social spaces. And now what you're seeing is that there's some really great experiences that can be built with all of these tools like Unreal Engine, you know, Unity. There's agencies that are spending all day, every day, you know, building out this awesome, you know, really impressive content. But then, you know, how can you best monetize that, right? You don't want just something that's really cool, but then you don't actually be able to point to how that helps your business. And so we're seeing a decent amount of use in that spatial commerce use case, right? So I'm going into a virtual environment. Maybe I'm looking at, you know, the new campaign of Sephora, right? Sephora just released what's called the Sephora Universe on a limited basis. So you could do like a virtual makeup try-on, you know, as an example. You know, you build an avatar, you're like, maybe this color would work, or, you know, whatever. And, but the automotive industry, we've seen a significant amount of investment in that. You know, and that they're doing that in partnership with Epic Games, and because Epic Games owns Unreal Engine. And so instead of just going to a website today and I kind of pick my model and I pick the color and maybe what the trim looks like, and it shows me a bunch of flat 2D pictures, now I'm able to actually go into a virtual showroom. I'm walking around, I'm looking at all the different angles, I can step into the car, I can look at the trunk space. And so I still think that's kind of still in that spatial commerce, you know, type of use case. There's definitely going to continue to be a significant amount of investment in corporate training. And when you think about a large employee base, I mean, example, one that one of our strategic partners is working with today is Emirates Airlines. And so they have 100,000 employees, and they'll build out these training modules, whether it's for customer service staff or for flight attendants, or it could even be regulated types of training that's required for, say, maintenance or pilots. And so we're seeing quite a bit of that. We were on a call last week where Target stores use Unreal Engine and build out these things when they're looking for the next season rollout of how they want to configure the store. So you're imagining and trying to determine what that customer experience is going to be. And then the content management one, I think, is really coming about. I mean, you see some of these consumer brands, you know, that if they'd like to have a real live view rather than just go to an internal website and get a download of what the right kind of colors are for a particular campaign so that, you know, they can put that label on the outside of a drink. You know, you're seeing people build those out in those game engines, like, you know, like an Unreal or Unity, so that those agencies know exactly what it is that end product will look like rather than kind of guessing on what the vision would be. So those are the main use cases that we're seeing today for SGRT.
It's kind of cool to know the technology behind those things on the websites where you're putting the accent on your car in real time and the makeup on your face in real time.
That's right.
So thanks for sharing that. What are some advancements in streaming tech that Streaming Global foresees, and how does Streaming Global prepare for these?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think, at the end of the day, as a software company, especially with the deep bench strength that we have in our engineering team, is you always need to be innovating, right? I mean, the adage out there that always talked about the hockey player Wayne Gretzky as to why he was a Hall of Famer and maybe the best to ever play the game is that he would always skate to where the puck was going to be rather than where it was. And I think as a software company and as a business, we're trying to anticipate where exactly that goes. And I think from a streaming standpoint, you can look at it in a couple of different ways. I mean, you can look at it as far as the streaming video, and we're all, you know, very familiar with that, whether it's using a platform like this for a podcast or, you know, Zoom on a conference call or, you know, going to a Netflix or, an Amazon Prime to consume video. There's a variety of different kinds, but at the end of the day, you're just wanting to make sure that the customer experience is always better. And is there an opportunity to be able to enhance that through add-on technology? I mean, maybe that's, being able to have side-by-side streams. You know, you're starting to see that with some of the sports sites, you know, today. And our job as a company is not, we don't do like the front-end delivery, or the monetization. You know, we don't do ad, we don't build products that would help customers monetize that. We integrate with those, but ours is to figure out how you go from that source of where the content lies to where the user needs to do it, and how quickly and reliably, and how what's the best, not only performance, but visual quality that they can get. And I think consumers are just gonna continue to demand that. Mm-hmm. On the data side, I mean, I heard, and this is probably a two-year-old stat, but I mean, the comment was every year, the amount of the world's data doubles, right? So if I'm using these tools that enable me, because my computer, even though I just have a laptop, I can have terabytes of content, right? How do I actually move that content from the place where I'm working on it to where it needs to go from a business requirement standpoint? And I think being able to have tools like that are really important. One thing that we're seeing and that we feel is a real opportunity for our company is that instead of services out there, which I would call like a publish and pull model, you know, like Dropbox, right? I can publish a file, but then the person that I want to have review it can go up and pull it, and there's some synchronization that happens there. I think you're gonna see a lot more advancements in the streaming of data that will just make it that much more reliant, not only reliable, but it'll basically stream just like you would stream a piece of video. And if you have a network hiccup or you lose connectivity, then to be able to make sure that it just picks up right where you left off rather than having to restart it again.
And can you share a success story where Streaming Global significantly impacted a client's ability to deliver content?
You know, I wish I could, and I don't mean to be cagey or anything like that, but the one thing I probably should have mentioned with our customer base is that it's a little bit segregated in that we work with consumer customers, and Atlanta Braves will be, you know, that won't start until after opening day, but we also do a lot of government work. And so given the sensitive nature of those kinds of projects, you know, I'd love to be able to share with you, but that unfortunately is just a little too classified, if you will.
Okay, no problem. And what led to your decision to choose System 76 for hardware?
You know, I think like a lot of things in business, it's a little bit relationship driven, right? So an executive on our team, that has a technical operations background, our director of technical operations is close to System 76 in Denver. He actually lives in Cheyenne, Wyoming, so just a couple of hours away, and had partnered with Sam and the team previously with a previous company that he had. So it was that relationship equity, the history of System 76 being able to deliver unparalleled service as well as great products that put them in the short list for us to work with them.
Cool. And are there any other things that you'd like to touch on about Streaming Global before we go?
I think that my parting shot, would just be that it's really going to be fascinating to watch where this business goes in the next, 3 to 5 years, specifically with that product line that we have, SGRT? And is it going to be so much more commonplace that you have these immersive experiences rather than you and I just go into a website and seeing like a 2D photo like you would see on, you know, Amazon or whatever, and you're purchasing a product? How many more, you know, how much more time is going to go by before we actually go into those kinds of experiences and, you know, you're trying something on virtually, you know, and you're creating an avatar that is right specific to your capabilities? And I think that just, I know it's early days with generative AI, but I think it's only just going to make it that much more accurate so that, you know, hopefully we aren't in a position where we have to return items, right, that don't fit or don't look like, you know, they thought that, you know, don't look like the way we thought they should when we purchased the, you know, purchased the item. And I also think that that corporate training, customer training piece, there is so much data that suggests that the more that you interact with something, like maybe you set up a scenario where, you know, you are interacting with another person, even if it's a, you know, even if it's an AI generated person, if that would just help you learn that much more the topic that you're working through, right? Rather than having to review a PowerPoint slide or listen to, even just listen to a speaker, right? So I think the more immersive the experience, then the higher rate of retention and engagement you get from the user, and our technology enables that to happen.
That's really cool. I agree too. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you sharing your story.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys inviting me.
All right. Are you guys ready for a fun game?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's fun, but it's a game and I invented it.
I think we're going to have fun and that's all that matters.
All right. Let's play the Linux alphabet game. Here's how you play. Each of us has to say a word relating to Linux or computers or open source in alphabetical order, alternating answers between the both of us. So, Alex, I'll let you start with A. I'll do B. You do C. Got the hang of it?
What's the next letter after C?
D.
Okay.
Once you get stuck, it's over and the winner is proclaimed. It helps if you close your eyes.
When... If I close my eyes, I think that's going to make it worse.
I really want him to close his eyes because I know he has some stuff written down and you guys can't see it, but
my notebook
I know
is
he's trying to cheat.
Out of sight.
Whatever. No cheating.
No cheating.
No cheating. All right. Ready? Set. A.
Arch, by the way.
B. Bash.
C. Cosmic.
Ooh. D for Debian.
E for elementary.
F for Flash.
G for GNOME.
I think I lose because Flash is technically proprietary.
I think it's still computer related.
All right. I win.
I don't know.
Nope, I don't win. Nobody wins yet.
Well, we haven't gotten an H.
All right, H for hash. I was just trying to buy my time.
I mean, no one uses Flash anymore, but man, were those games fun.
Yeah, but I rhymed with Flash for my H, which is hash, so I need you to do I.
Do I have to rhyme with GNOME?
Quickly, I know you're trying to buy time. Go.
Internet.
Ooh. J for JSON.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
K for kernel.
Ooh. L for Linux Mint.
M for Mutter.
N for... No, I lost. I can't think of an N. Nerd. Can nerd be one? Because that's what we are. Okay, I think that calls it. I think
Nix.
N is where... Oh, Nix OS. N is where it ended, and it's all my fault. The game is over. But thanks for playing.
There's always room to play again.
All right, well, that's all we have for you today. Thanks so much for joining us on our monthly podcast.
This has been the System 76 Transmission Log. For more inspiration, check out the website and follow us on social media. On your descent back to Earth, please keep your hands and feet inside the transport beam at all times. Captain Sinoff, in transmission.
Recently, to text rendering, there's a new, it's called a shape run cache feature. I say cache sometimes.
No, that's not
other people
say,
cache.
Yeah, it's definitely cache.
Well, cache is S-H, not C-H-E. But anyway.